And roll call, Michael Ryu, committee chair.
Kirk Fredrickson.
Kirk Cagle, member.
Linda Stiles, member.
Beth Young, liaison, staff liaison. Okay, so now we're ready for the next one. Minutes.
Fancy.
That's, yeah, okay.
So approval minutes, do we have minutes to approve?
Nope, we don't.
No minutes to approve, okay. Agenda additions, anyone?
I wanted to talk about Elizabeth Street sidewalk project.
The what?
Elizabeth Street sidewalk.
Okay. We'll put that in under F3.
Okay. Anything else?
I don't think I see it on the agenda. I wanted just to follow up on the Agate Beach Wayside that we brought up last meeting.
Okay.
Not really an agenda addition, just an aside, if we have any kind of status update on that flap. I'm sure we probably don't because it's sitting with the fence, but.
Yeah, but that, oh, in addition?
Yeah, I'm just curious to know if there's been any notifications or anything.
Agate Beach Wayside F4, no?
Yeah.
Okay. Crash report.
Crash report.
Sorry, that's your job. All right, crash report. I'll just read it. I'm trying to get Leanne to read this for us. Part of my make Beth work less. Whatever.
Good luck on that.
Campaign.
Yeah, good luck on that.
If you'd like, I can read it.
No, that's fine. We want the May one, huh?
Yes.
There were two. Fell apart. Okay, it's probably here. Okay, so this is April. Regarding April. Okay, I'm sorry, I don't have a report.
Okay, then we'll push that one off to July meeting.
Maybe there were any exits?
There were two.
Oh, were there?
Yes.
Oh, I see.
I'll just report there were two and I will give you more information at the next meeting.
Excellent, then we can move on to committee comments, if anybody has any. No? Okay. We can skip E, there's no public comment.
Okay.
City's on the make Beth work more agenda.
I am working hard. I took vacations too. Okay. All right, other business, huh?
Yes, other business. So F1, Quinnebay State Park is our first one.
Yeah, I mentioned this or brought this up.
I saw the email, yeah.
Yeah. You know, there's no sidewalk from 101 to the lighthouse, which is really odd to me. So I thought it was worth to inquire about if the state has this improvement on their plan somehow.
You do know the major problem in that there's a big tree, that's a historic tree. If you're thinking about it, if you're going around that, I guess you're going in there and have to slow down.
The one right in the middle of the street there, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's kind of biblical here.
No, I don't think the tree's a problem personally. But.
Oh, good, because that's where most people get hung up on walking up there.
Yeah, it's a nice tree.
Well, I asked.
I'm a tree hugger, and I would.
Yeah, no, I asked Dan with the county one time, and they were told that it was a city, so.
So I don't know what the best, you know, if Parks has a connection. I wouldn't mind delving in to see if they have a master plan and it's on a plan somewhere.
Is there a particular route you're thinking of from?
Yeah, well, there's a worn path already, you know.
Along the side, yeah.
Yeah, and quite a few people.
That's county park too. I think that's city.
But a state park, yeah.
State park, rather, excuse me.
But what part of 101?
No, from like if you're on the bayfront and you want to go up to the lighthouse.
Yeah.
There's sidewalk all the way until you basically enter the park, and then there's.
So when you're going around under the bridge?
Yeah, there's sidewalk under the bridge.
Sidewalk under the bridge, the park coming down toward the lighthouse from that turnaround.
Where that big tree is?
Right, that goes under the bridge.
No, not the stuff that's under the bridge, the stuff going west.
No, there's sidewalk under the bridge.
Yeah, there's sidewalk under the bridge. He's talking about the part that in the park. From where, if you were coming from the bayfront and you took a left and you went under the bridge, you hit the entrance to the park and the sidewalk ends.
Right, right. I just meant like that continued path.
Right.
Like that's the path that we're envisioned, that we're talking about, as opposed.
Oh, right, okay.
To like coming from Nye Beach or something.
Yeah, number 101 until you get to the parking lot for the lighthouse up there. It gets really kind of a little iffy there, especially when the surf's breaking down below, because everybody just, the place gets really mobbed.
Yeah.
You gotta be really careful up there if you're walking or bicycling.
It's not much in the way of safe pedestrian access on the other side of it either.
Well, there's little paths, meanders, picnic tables, so you can get through.
Yeah.
But with cars park, no, there isn't.
So here's my really, so this is the underpass, this is the bridge going. And this is going uphill, 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 across the street. You got the under the bridge, and then what you're saying is this sidewalk connection just kind of dies at the entry to the state park?
Yeah, there's sidewalk started on the bayside.
Where that big tree is.
Okay.
It's a very short area.
Yeah.
Satellite view of it, so.
Right there.
From like here, there's nothing, there's no sidewalk coming this direction. There is what they call desire path, as Herb's mentioned, where people are already walking.
Oh, it gets used a lot for walk. I walk it a lot myself personally.
I think you're asking, how do we get in touch with Oregon State Parks to find out if there's a plan, or can we request a plan to have a sidewalk?
You know, see if we could find out if there's a plan, and if there's not, I would suggest the city council to write them a letter and ask them to put it on their list. You know, it's a long ways away, but.
So this wasn't part of the TSP at all, and that's because it's Oregon State Parks?
I didn't see it on, I looked on the.
Oh, did you? Okay.
I didn't see it. And there was a recital about Quinna Bay State Park master plan, and I looked that up, and there wasn't much info about it, so.
There is no master. I'll look, I'll do some homework and see what's been done. I do know that the sidewalk work that goes under the bridge and up from the bayfront, that was an earlier bike ped group got that going.
That was a big deal when they finished that, with all the steps and everything. That was really cool. That took a long time for the city to get that done. Why they stopped at the county, who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
State, yeah.
At the state.
So I will do some homework and see if there is a plan and who to contact and what's going on.
If you don't have any luck or run out of time, let me know. I don't mind doing a little research. I just didn't know if, you know, anyone knew anything about it.
We support you, right? If you wanted to do that would be great, because as you can tell, hey, I am behind. No problem, Leanne. I'll just mark you as here, and yeah.
Maybe Parks is familiar with it, or Parks has a contact for the state parks.
You know who might?
There's someone just to call who would, you know.
Friends of Yukuna Lighthouses Group. They might know somebody. Might have some idea.
Well, yeah, but this is a completely different thing. That's federal, this is state.
I understand, I'm just like, maybe they know.
Connection person.
Might somebody to reach out to?
They work on both lighthouses?
No.
Just the Yukuna Head?
Yeah, one's federal, one's state.
Yeah, that one's federal.
But I mean, the Friends.
The Friends group.
No.
Just does the
It's not S's, it's not yet lighthouses, it's that one.
Okay.
We only want this one.
And you would know, because you're not the historical society.
I am.
Well, that's the other one is still a working lighthouse, this one's not, this is just. This is just a tourist spot.
Yep.
So I will, I'm curious myself, and so we'll race to both do it.
Okay.
And please share your info and I'll share mine with you as I get it. And hopefully we'll have something to report next time.
Yeah, I'll touch base in a couple of weeks.
Good.
I mean, they're.
Connections are good.
They're committed by law to provide ADA access, I mean, that was, the law was passed in 1990. So that's why I was a little surprised that they haven't. Maybe they have something on the books.
Probably end up tying in with ODOT, ODOT's notorious about.
That's a potential lawsuit if somebody wants to get into it. I know there's plenty of them, they're all over the place. But usually the state park wouldn't, you know, they have a budget. I'm surprised they haven't addressed it, so that's why I brought it up.
They had somebody use that tree one time. Can't remember if they cut a limb off and put graffiti on and all that, and that raised holy hell with a whole lot of people when that happened, if you remember that, back about 15 years ago.
I was only here 3 years.
Oh.
I think you're the
one. We're all newbies.
We're all newbies.
Oh, that was a big stink when that happened.
I want to tell you about the ADA, related to that is that there was a recent lawsuit, maybe 2 years ago now, that you'll notice as you drive around, I sure did, ODOT has to make all of its sidewalk have ramps at corners. Mm-hmm. And they're doing it in Philomath and blah, blah, blah. But at the Oates, Oregon ACT Transportation Summit, Jenna Berman gave a talk and she had people who had complained to ODOT, various disabilities, and it was really wonderful because they were on the screen. And she says, I'm the one who gets this to help these cases through. So whenever anybody complains, it's complaint driven, ADA access happens specifically for wherever they go, those people go. You know, they usually have only one request, you know, to the grocery store or something, but that lawsuit changed everything. So, you know, if one of us or if we have friends who need special consideration in one way or another, it can be the beeping that goes do 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 so they can see how far it is, and there are all kinds of ADA adjustments for walkers and even, you know, bicyclists. So just keep that in mind, that it's like everything, it's complaint driven. And it's really cool. It was a very heartwarming story of how they could now do things. Yeah, so that's neither here nor there. Can we skip back to crash report? Because maybe Leanne has it, because I didn't have it.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay, so yes, and we will revise or revisit our crash report.
Okay, so May the 4th, just before 9 p.m. at South Coast Highway in Southwest Lee, there was a pedestrian walking southbound on the
Wait,
Coast Highway.
Could you slow down, because I'm not capturing it.
Okay.
In my head.
May 4th? South Coast Highway and Southwest Lee Street, a pedestrian was walking southbound on the Coast Highway in one of the lanes of traffic. The driver of the vehicle saw the pedestrian when he was about 30 feet away and struck the pedestrian before he could come to a complete stop. Witnesses stated the pedestrian was not in a crosswalk and ran across the street at least 25 feet south of where the crosswalk is located. The pedestrian was airlifted to a Portland hospital. Driver submitted to field sobriety tests and a blood draw and showed no signs of impairment.
Wow. Do you know what time of day that was?
Just before 9.
At night?
Yes.
What was the sun down by then?
Not quite, kind of, but
dusk.
It's twilight.
Pretty close.
Twilight's the worst time I've heard.
Yeah, in that area would have been
You're
in shade.
Walking down the street?
Yes.
What? Like in the middle?
In one of the lanes of traffic, apparently.
I thought you said they were crossing the street.
Well, it says both.
Well,
I'm
then I think they were
says.
Caught in the street, I'm guessing, crossing. But who knows, because we have people who are impaired. But this person had no sort of impairment that we know of.
You said Lee Street?
Yes.
Trying to think of where that crosses, is that?
Oh, I see it, okay.
Interesting. By,
right by here, not too far.
By Herbert. So just a little south of here.
Yeah.
Just a couple blocks on 101.
Yeah, next block over.
Where there's probably not a rapid flasher nearby.
No, but there are crosswalks at Lee and at Angle, and then of course the light at Herbert.
Okay, I wonder why they were crossing.
The sidewalk on both sides.
Sidewalk so you can get to the crosswalk.
And that's a bad place to be trying to cross the Coast Highway.
I wonder why.
I mean, I think it's worth paying attention to places like, you know, where there's a good distance between crosswalks, so people kind of are being, you know, it's unreasonable for them to walk all the way to the crosswalk, but I can't, with this one, it doesn't seem like that's the case, and I know I've seen lots of people crossing 101 near Olive when the crosswalk's like half a block away, and they still don't, so I don't know, we can just chalk that up to recklessness, but looks like right here.
And it kind of crests the hill, 101 crests there?
At Herbert, it does.
Herbert.
And so the line of vision is not good, maybe?
No, like that block. That block's pretty good line of vision. I mean, even in twilight, it would have been in shade, but the street lamps would have been on.
That's the part that's going to be part of the downtown revitalization, so I'm going to just assume they're going to be bulb outs and...
Yeah, because that'll be part of the couplet.
But there's also going to be more exciting things, hopefully, in the long run, that does people will want to cross, so no. Okay, that's good. I'll keep in mind. What's the other one?
The other one happened on May the 7th at 7 p.m. Southwest 9th and Southwest Alder. On May the 8th, a day later, a male called NPD to report that he had been struck by a vehicle the night before while walking on the sidewalk on Southwest 9th Street. He heard the sound of a vehicle drive onto the sidewalk. The vehicle struck him, and he rolled over the vehicle. The vehicle did not stop. The pedestrian did not go to the hospital until May 8th and was advised he had a sprained ankle. There was no vehicle or suspect information given.
That is a bad spot.
Yeah. Do you think that was the car was coming out of a driveway? There's no indication here.
Did it say which direction the car was traveling?
It did not.
Okay. 9th and Alder's a bad spot. Because it does crest going northbound on 9th. It crests at Alder. And the lane shifts right here.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not paying attention, you have to veer to the right of that intersection of the car. Maybe somebody came to, if they were going that way northbound. I can envision how that would happen because that's a bad intersection.
But if the car went on the sidewalk.
That's what I'm saying. If you're coming north on 9th and you approach the intersection of Alder as you're passing by where the Pig and Pancake is.
Okay.
And catty corner across from that, you've got the church. That hill crests there and then drops off toward Herbert. And as it does so, as you go through that intersection, the lanes of traffic shift to the right. So you've got curb parking before you hit Alder and no curb parking after, and the lane has shifted. So if somebody didn't see what they were doing and realized it wasn't familiar with the intersection or was overcorrected, ended up on the sidewalk.
Interesting.
It's a mess of an intersection.
You really know these streets.
I go down the 9th all the time. Okay. I don't like going through downtown on 101. I hate it.
And you're starting to make note of all this stuff. And I've talked to our GIS people about mapping it, that eventually we're going to get a map and hopefully from past ones as well. So there you go. So when this revitalization happens, that we'll have good input like that.
I think if there's a police report, it's already mapped.
You know what? There are probably three things. There's state parks. There's Oregon State Police that I guess do state parks. There's the county and there's the city. Mm-hmm. And so to get them everything that happens in Newport on one map would be great. So maybe they do provide that, but I think we're going to have to put together our own info. Okay, next left.
Yes, F2, Safe Routes to School Planning Assistance Program Grant Application, Beth.
Yeah, I asked to put this on again.
Yes, Herb.
Herbert, sorry.
Just that I was curious if this, you know, I'm assuming this group still wants to move ahead and recommend the program? Something's changed since I haven't been the last few meetings, but. So I think we need to know if, where the city stands officially before we talk to the school district. I was looking on their website, they don't have, their program's not announced yet. But I did happen to notice that Toledo went through the program and they have a report dated April 2022. And I got a copy of it, so I will send it to everybody so they can see what it looks like.
So what is that in Toledo?
Elementary school.
So what kind of a, do they receive a grant, or they have?
No, it's just the planning program.
Okay, so they have applied.
Someone comes in, scopes out the area, what the needs are.
The PIT program?
Yeah.
So they have.
Toledo went through it on the last cycle, 2020.
Okay, so the city of Toledo applied for a PIT grant, and now they're doing it? Is that what it is?
The report's done. They were awarded, the program in 2020.
They did their survey report last year.
The whole process has been done, the report's been filed, and they have all their stuff. And they worked with Sue Graves, Lincoln School District Safety Coordinator.
I don't know her personally, but.
She was a school rep. So I just wanted to see if we're still moving ahead with this. We need something from the city to say, yes, this is good. So I don't know how you guys go about doing, your department does.
So.
I mean, there's no sense talking to the school district and then someone from the city goes, oh, no, that's a silly idea, because that'll just be a waste of people's time.
Well, usually it'll be city initiated. So some staff member will be applying for the PIP program grant. And.
We were planning on doing a letter of support.
Yeah, so how it starts is that city council, or usually it's staff initiated, but this, it can be bike PET initiated. So we ask the city council if it's okay for the, for city staff to make this application, because it's staff time. And then staff applies for the grant, and it part of the process is letters of support from a variety of places, and one of them is it's school district, and I'll tell you about that in a second. And then, you know, we'll probably be successful if we have enough community support. So that's how that works. And like you say, the next 2-year grant application opening window starts February, right? And so we were, maybe it's March, I have it written down, but we were thinking in January that we would approach city council about that.
And our work calendar at a glance, we've got a November vote for a letter to the city council regarding this. December submission to city council.
So I think one of you guys could pen that letter to city council. And.
Can you see where Derek's at on it? Because initially when I brought this up, shortly after I came here, he said, no, it's not necessary. So I met with him one-on-one and he softened up. He didn't think it was necessary because we already have a TSP, is what he said.
Right.
But all cities have to have a TSP. And there's countless cities that apply for this program, including Eugene, Corvallis, I mean, all over the place. So the TSP is not really a talking point. Everyone has to have one.
And I think that's why he softened up.
So he softened up a little bit, but he didn't say, Herb, that's a great idea, let's move forward. personally, if I'm, you know, I'll probably be involved with it because I've worked with the program on the construction side many times. I'd like assurance from the city, at least if Derek supports it without any hesitation, thinks it's a great idea, then I'm sure city council will go for it if you recommended it. If Derek goes up and gives a report and says, I'm not sure if we need it or not, then we're just spinning our wheels right now. So what do you suggest? Meet with Derek again, or do you want to talk to him?
Well, I frankly, I mean, a good planner, and Derek is one, doesn't usually give their opinion unless asked. But if you, if they ask him, well, you might want to talk to him first so that his answer is, he might just be, he'll probably be neutral.
Yeah, he's, my experience with Derek, obviously you work with him, but my experience with him through this committee is that he doesn't commit to anything until it's done. Yeah. And then he'll come back and say, okay, well, we did this thing.
And if, and he so I don't think his opinion is going to sway the city council one way or another, because I probably, he probably will not give it. But if you, but I'm feeling like if you want to talk to him about it, and
how would we go about getting to know if the city council is in support of it, so that, like Herb says, we don't waste our time going to the school district and other people for letters of support?
Well, we can talk to city council members.
We go to a meeting
individually.
They're open to talk.
I don't know if you'd want to put it on the agenda and do like a little presentation, or just go to the meeting and just introduce it and get informal feedback.
Public comment.
Yeah. And then they might go, hey, yeah, bring us more information or bring us a letter.
When's the next city council?
Oh, it's every 2 weeks. So
next Monday.
I think there was one last night. No, maybe that's planning commission.
I'll check it.
So do you all think we should get some affirmation from city before we approach a school district? I mean, that's what I
would do.
Hold that thought. I have already approached the school district. and they're not opposed to it. Okay, so who I spoke to was the curriculum director, Dr. Katie Barrett, elementary ed director of curriculum. And she, and I talked to her because she had been the one to initiate getting, she's curriculum, so she wanted to get the PE teachers to have a bike safety class. So she brought in the education part of Safe Routes to School, which, and that is a, it's a big flatbed truck full of bicycles and a couple instructors. And so they just go to schools, and it's called the Jumpstart Program, and that's what happens. And they work with the PE teachers. So that's kind of fun. That happened in here in Newport and with other cities too this past couple months. Katie, Dr. Barrett was really excited because I told her Safe Routes to School is a whole lot more than that, and that if we get grant funding, she was asking me if, you know, we could keep those bikes or have that program all the time in this county, but it's a statewide thing, so they just go from place to place. She was excited about the idea of getting test bicycles for the schools for the kids to learn how to bicycle. So there are various ways of using the grants, as we know, but I'm sure they're not opposed to us getting money and them helping decide how to use it. That's where she's going to be talking to other people too, and they're going to contact me about like possibilities. But, you know, she's got a long list of things to do. So that happened a couple weeks ago when I talked to Dr. Barrett. That's my report. And that's just for this. Now, she deals with all of Lincoln County. So we talked about us working with others, maybe getting a grant for all the cities in Lincoln County or something like that. So But if Newport, if we want to have it be Newport specific grant program, great. I think the best, I think a good idea is to some educated person on the whole Safe Routes to School program, give a short presentation to city council and say, are you guys up for it? What do you think?
I'll take that on.
So it's just a matter of who wants to volunteer.
I'll take that on.
You're going to take it on?
I'll do it. I'll come to the next city council meeting and do a public comment on it. Just ask them, say, hey, here's what we're looking at. We're trying to gauge interest. We know the school district is amenable, I think would be a good word. What does the city council think? And we're preparing a letter of support for a grant application for the upcoming cycle, which begins January 2023. And then get feedback from the city council and see what they have to say.
And they're going to, obviously, they're going to ask, what do you want it for? And I assume you're going to say the PIP program.
Right.
Project Identification Program and describe that to them.
And I'll cite the Toledo plan, which I think I just found it, PDF. The Toledo Safe Routes to School plan. So I think
that's the final report.
Yeah, I think I just found what you're, but please send out what you found and verify that I've got the right thing. I'll read through it.
Oh, you can get deep into every city. This Toledo might not apply to us as much as some other ones, you know, that has a few schools. But it's just endless, the different ways that the schools can use the money and how that can apply to nearby streets. In particular, Katie, Dr. Barrett was mostly concerned about, she really liked it within the schools stuff. She did not care about infrastructure.
Yeah.
But.
That's understandable.
Yeah, understandable. So that's where they're coming from.
I'll email Derek as well. See what he has to say.
What does PIP stand for?
Project Identification Program.
Strictly planning.
So basically, we're asking ODOT to send in representatives to come around and look at our infrastructure and the school's programs and say, here's where we think you could probably do some improvements, as I understand it.
Okay.
It's cool because it's not just infrastructure. I believe you're identifying all ways.
Safety programs.
Oh, yeah, it's education.
Yeah, education.
But the beauty of it is once you go through that program, the PIP program, which is sponsored by Safe Routes to School, they also do the construction grants.
Yes.
So obviously,
if you have a PIP grant.
If you have a report.
Yes, if that's included in your PIP grant and our TSP.
Yeah, that sweetens the pot for you to get a construction grant, right?
Yeah.
And it encompasses all four schools in Newport, doesn't it? Both the elementary schools, the middle school, and the high school?
Yes and no. Right now,
a quarter mile of each school.
Safe Routes to School is not high schools. That's something going through our really terrible legislature. Is that we wanted, ODOT wants to expand it to the high schools, but the legislator is kind of DOA these days, and so that legislation did not go through. It was going to expand Safe Routes to School from 1 mile of the school to 2 miles and extend to high schools. So maybe by the time we...
We've talked about this before, those particular boundary limits. Mm-hmm. And if you look at within our town.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean.
Doesn't matter.
Yucuna Heights and Sam Case, that zone overlaps and it encompasses the high school just because of geographic
location. Yeah, and the middle school.
Yeah,
you're right.
So, I mean, they all overlap.
Yeah, it's moot in our town.
Yeah, in our specific example, it is moot.
Yeah.
But.
Okay, so that was extraneous info.
Okay, so I'm sorry, I forgot what we decided F3 was.
F3 is Elizabeth Street Sidewalk.
Yes.
Oh, F3, okay. That was me again.
And that was
You know, there was talk I guess it's Public Works, as in the budget. It was in last year's, and it's also in the 23-24 budget, to do a feasibility study for sidewalks. And there was a presentation, basically said they thought it was best to put the sidewalk on one side of the street and the other. Well, on that same stretch, because that feasibility was between Government Street and Olive Street, basically. There's BL-12 this calls out to put bike lanes in and remove parking on one side of the street. So my question is, if you're putting in sidewalk, maybe we can get the bike lanes done at the same time. I mean, this is, there's very few places in this town where you can have a long stretch of bike lane or bike path that's off the highway. And Lighthouse is really the only one right now. And so from an engineering side, to do the work for the sidewalk and not do the minimal amount of work to implement the bike lanes, if I was in charge, I would definitely have it done at the same time. Because if the motels didn't like the idea about taking away some parking, a parking study could be done. I don't know what Oregon standard is for that, but there is one in California, and I've done them before. And that street is not heavily parked. You can go down there just about any time. There's a lot of space, so if you take away parking on one side, you get room for bike lanes on both sides. And it'd be, you know, some people will argue you don't need bike lanes, of course, but if you're, you know, a little timid on a bike, then a bike lane's a big plus. So I was just curious if where that's at, that related to the sidewalk project.
Well, I know that this was a package deal, sidewalks only. And I think city councils looked, really didn't look into adding a bike lane, because that's a whole other project. So
it's not a big project. I guess this is, I'm bringing this up because I think this is potentially part of the problem in Newport, is why there are so many incomplete streets, incomplete sidewalks, is there's a little bit of a haphazard approach to delivering these improvements. And, you know, I was a city engineering work for over 20 years, and these are the kind of things that politically, there's just a general feel that, hey, we should do these kind of things together. I mean, economically, it's cheaper, blah, 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 blah. And plus, you can tick things, they get done, you know? There seems to be this doesn't seem to be the case here, and I've only been here a couple of years, but just to think that a simple thing to, you know, if you took away the parking, you might have to do a parking study, and that would take a tech 2 or 3 hours for 2 or 3 days just to go out there and count cars, a little bit of PR work, then you end up putting up, I don't know, you know, you stripe the line, and that costs about $2 a foot, you put up a dozen signs, and it's done.
I don't know. It seems, you know, easy, but they do it ahead of time. You know, they only had the sidewalk in there, and they budgeted for that, and then they budgeted for another part that they wanted done, and so it's just not part of that project right now because they didn't think holistically.
Well, isn't this part of our job? To say or to recommend that this can be done a better way, we can get these things.
Well, the TSP really,
it is in the TSP,
directs them to decide what they want to get funding for and what they want to do in the order they want to do it.
Am I outliner here? Am I thinking like way off track that we shouldn't, as this committee is concerned about bicycle and pedestrian, and we advise city council, isn't this, when we see a project coming up like this, shouldn't we say, let's take this project a few more steps, maybe spend another $50,000 and get this thing done as well? I mean, am I off track, or?
No, I don't
think. I mean, I've been in this environment for a long time, and this is how things usually get done.
Well, the way that I heard the TSB presented to the city council was that it was not even really a guidance document. I mean, it indicates interest and feasibility, but that it's flexible and changeable. Yeah, right. So I think that the fact that there's part of it in it, we could use to our advantage if we want to leverage that and present this other aspect of it that we see value in. And you have specific experience that can inform that case where this is going to be more economically efficient to do it this way. I mean, the worst they can say is no.
I would definitely propose that since they're moving forward on doing the sidewalk work, what's the timeline on that?
It just, I saw the 23-24 budget. Elizabeth Street has $50,000 just to check the feasibility of the sidewalk. Now, Aaron might know more, but that's what the line item is in the budget.
So feasibility study to do the layout. I would push for them to do the bike lane at the same time.
That makes perfect sense
to me. I mean, you're already tearing up the street to lay down new sidewalks.
I don't know that they're tearing up the street.
Well, if I'm interpreting what he's saying correctly, then what they're looking at is just the feasibility of what the work package will involve.
Right now, they're just talking about finishing where it stops, don't they?
I think so.
They're going to take you down to the park.
Yeah, because there is an actual sidewalk gap.
Is this going to be on the
The
west,
government
west
street
side?
End doesn't have any
on the west side
at all. So.
Yeah.
So are they taking away private property to put in the sidewalk, or are they taking away part of the street?
None of it's private property. It's all city right away.
Oh, okay. But it's essentially someone's yard currently.
Right.
In practice.
Well,
yes.
In my eyes. Yeah.
I'm just trying to envision how much space we're talking about.
So. Basically,
Elizabeth Street
looks like they'd probably do 5 foot adjacent to the curb sidewalk, just like they have further down the street.
Yeah. Well, Gizzy, you know, he's right. The plan for the TSP was to take that west side sidewalk from where it ends at the south end of it toward the park, extend that all the way to the government street to the parking area for Yaquina Bay State Park. So then the question becomes, how do we, say, get it in front of Aaron that when you're doing your feasibility study, can we also ask this question at the same time? Can we do the bike lane concurrent with the sidewalk work? Even if that means that's that scope of work, because the bike lane is going to go further than where they're just putting in a new sidewalk, ideally it would go the whole length, all the way down to the Donna Ann Davis, at minimum.
That seems like a reasonable approach, at least saying consider this aspect in your feasibility study.
So do we need to talk to Aaron just to say?
I don't mind talking to him. I've already met with him one time to discuss stuff.
Yeah.
He's the one that told me where I could find the budget and those things.
It makes sense, and the worst they could do is just say no.
Yeah.
You know, we can always try.
If you don't ask, the answer's no right off the bat.
Exactly.
I say
we're just
we
asking for feasibility.
Yeah.
To include in the feasibility study. That just makes sense.
And is this, would this be part of the lighthouse to lighthouse path when that eventually gets developed?
It's the same route.
This would be on that route for the full lighthouse to lighthouse.
So I think that's a significant piece too, where it's not just, oh, here's a little piecemeal bike lane. But it's actually we're looking at connectivity.
Right. And you're connecting the state park to the city park.
Yeah.
Right in front of all of those hotels.
Yep.
And it's on the TSP.
And it's on the TSP.
BL-12.
Since they're doing one, they might as well do the other. It doesn't seem
just to see what the feasibility is at minimum and then go from there. Because once if we can get them to commit to doing the feasibility to put the bike lane in at the same time as they're doing the sidewalk, chances are, unless they determine that it's not possible to put a bike lane there. They'll just be like, well, we've already done the look. Let's do the work, I would expect. I mean, maybe I'm off base, but that seems logical to me. So you want to ask?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe we need to think further ahead and look at the budget and be going to city council and saying, hey, when we do this sidewalk project, we need to do this bike project. It's the same street. They're right next, you know. During the budget process, which is usually a few years ahead of when it actually comes around. Because by the time it comes around, they're already putting in the sidewalk. Well, it's too late then. They'll just Yeah, people are busy, they just brush you off and say.
Now is the time to get this in, since they're, all they're looking at right now is what is the scope of work gonna be for the sidewalk, Kirk, is that right?
Wouldn't this also include that part, the real bad part of Ocean View? Because the way it comes up there, where you're talking about the path and all this, we can't even get grievance in the city and everything else about what they're gonna do with Ocean View.
No, no, we can't.
When you start trying to put this whole path together from Audi House to Lighthouse.
Yeah, but that's a different part of it than what we're talking about with Elizabeth Street. So I mean, I'm all for doing this incrementally. If we can get a, you know, proper sidewalk and bike lane on Elizabeth Street, and then we.
It's the only way it's gonna happen.
In years to come, we get that multi-use path from Lighthouse Drive South to Ocean View. Now we've just got that break between Ocean View and Elizabeth Street to work on. We've got anchors on either end.
Good point, and that'll be a good argument for.
Hey, look, man, we need to correct this.
We did all of it except for this part.
Got this bad spot here, right in the middle, let's fix this.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's how it gets done.
I mean, if you're looking at, I want to eat the whole pie in one sitting, you're not, you're never gonna get anything. Take a piece.
So I'm finding, Herb, the best, the fastest way to do it is to talk to Aaron and then write a letter from you. I am a member of the Bike Ped group and they have not approved this letter, but they approve it in general, or however you want to put it, instead of make, you know, waiting until our next meeting and then voting on the letter. It's however you want to do it, but,
Yeah, I definitely would like to have.
Or have it be
Aaron,
from a few of us. Or you can even send the letter around and whoever wants to sign on to it electronically, just let you know, yeah, put my name on it, you know. That might be another way. I'm just trying to avoid having the delay.
And how about we just vote for a pre-approval?
Or can we just say we agree in the spirit of the letter and we trust her or whoever to write it appropriately? Instead of having to actually look at the verbiage and agree on it?
I'm done with that. I don't see a problem with that.
Okay, if you need an extra set of eyes on.
Who's the letter to, Aaron?
I would make it to city council.
Yeah, but I would, my take on it, just to not burn bridges, would be to get Aaron's buy-in on it first.
Sure.
Yeah.
If he's down with it and then say, look, we want to send a letter of support asking, can we count on you? How, you know, approach it however you want.
Do you think going to city council first would?
I would rather not blindside Public Works with our request that Public Works modify a project.
I see.
I'd rather have Public Works being like, yeah, oh yeah, no, we already knew about this and we're down with it. Let's do this.
Okay, that's good.
Good point. Anybody want to make a motion? You asked people to make motions.
Oh, yeah, no. So do we want to have a motion to have her do what was just outlined? I don't want to repeat it.
Who wants to make the motion?
Who would like to make a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Leanne, and a second?
I'm sorry.
And a second, and all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Unanimous.
Great idea.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Well, Leanne, I'd like you to say what you're motioning.
That we go forward with their plan?
What is the plan?
So Herb is going to meet with this fellow Aaron first?
He's a Public Works, yeah.
Public Works, yeah.
Okay, and then draft a letter?
To city council.
To the city council?
Yeah, I'll see what he has to say, feedback from him.
In support of modifying this feasibility study for sidewalks on Elizabeth Street to include current work on the bike lane in accordance with.
I'll talk to him and then report to the group. And just send an email, this is what we talked about, this is what he said.
Information only, okay.
Okay, so the motion is that Herb will draft a letter to city council regarding adding bike lanes to Elizabeth Street project feasibility study.
Yeah.
After I talk to Aaron.
Okay.
Well, the motion just needs to cover the letter part.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. That's the motion, and who seconded? And unanimous? Thank you.
This is nice addition.
Good catch.
It's pretty easy to put in. It's the willpower. People, we're trying to generate willpower here.
Right.
To get things done.
Target Beach Wayside, that was Minda.
Yeah, so I think it was in May that I brought up the issue of people parking on both sides of Ocean View right at Agate Beach Wayside where the crosswalk goes from the beach to the back of the Best Western. And Ryan had said that he was going to put it on the agenda for city council the following meeting and bring it up. And I emailed him more information about it after our meeting. I didn't see it on the city council agenda. I might have missed it, and I was just wondering if anybody had any updates or if they happened to have heard from him about it.
I haven't heard anything.
Okay. So I guess maybe I'll just email Ryan and follow up. Okay.
Okay, if we have nothing else to add to this part of the agenda.
I have one other question, but I just don't know if we're going to get to it. I don't think so. Anything else? Ryan had also asked us to send public comment to the city council to support funding the bike lockers.
Bike lockers is going to be on my report.
Oh, okay.
That's next.
That's next. So what did Ryan say?
I just wrote down that he recommended us to send public comment to the city council to support and remind them to fund the bike locker program.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So that letter was great, but I got to kind of filling in numbers and talking to Derek about it, and he said, well, it's not just the bike locker, three locations for bike lockers, two lockers each, four lockers total at three locations is what we're talking about. That was the ask. City Center, Library, and Rec Center. So, what was that number?
49.
Okay. So that's the rough number that I have, 49K for that. Based on talking to City of Eugene, that included a lot of stuff to make it safe in these modern days. Not exactly a electronic eye inside it, but kind of clear, and this is what the city of Eugene went through. So I did that, I got that number. I went to the sites because Derek said you need to find out if the city is going to need to be creating concrete, you know, or what kind of base is necessary. Can you put it on asphalt, etc. And so I did that homework. I went to all three places and found good locations, probably the library. I have to confirm with Laura Kimberly, but the library one might be take up a parking space, and so we need to see people are funny that way, so, or maybe two parking spaces. Tentatively, I talked to Public Works here, and we're thinking right out there on that, alongside that walkway. It's a very wide walkway. So there, and that way people can use it who go on the bus. And Parks and Rec, we're talking about, they are that plaza in front of Parks and Rec, small plaza. They're going to be expanding the daycare area and, I don't know, hardening up the fencing that they've got there. And so that's part of that project. Now, the other part is, like Derek said, they're going to want to know what budget it should come out of. And it could come out of the library and Parks and Rec. And he says they tend to get funny that way. They don't want to include that in their budgets. And so should we ask it to come out of the general fund? And that's probably what we will do. I can talk to the different directors and see, because I talked to Derek after I talked to them about locations. So that's probably what we'll be requesting, 50K out of
General fund.
General fund. So that's kind of where I'm at, and then I got a little more, you know, wanted to get into a little more detail of the lockers, and so I did a little homework. Bike lockers are being removed from Portland. They had a project. It's successful only, and Eugene, I talked to Shane Rhodes, who is their planner, and he said kind of okay. It's they're kind of being used. He didn't have like it's glowing and that sort of thing. But this is a pilot project, so that's the whole point, is to see how well it will be used. Now the other part is, another thought is to, now what Portland is doing is it's putting bike lockers at the low income multiple family housing units, because they are, some of them are three-story walk-ups, and some of them, they just don't have the space in these small places. So there's a bigger equity kind of consideration that I don't know if you guys wanna kind of look at that bigger picture, or maybe also if we really want this to be successful, if those three places are the best, or maybe you might want to just have one place, and I would suggest this place, because it's next to transit. I'm sorry, a part of it is that I just couldn't, well, I didn't have my act together. I had a lot of work and went on vacation. So I didn't do that final step with the letter. So I have not submitted a letter to City Council. But I wanted to know if you guys wanted to revisit this in any way with the information that I just gave you. If how do you feel about things? And is 50,000 where we want, it's a lot of money, is that where we want our of all the transportation money spent? Another thing is, this is a moving target. You know, I think I started it because I don't bring my bike to things. And then I realized, you know what, I can just take off my my battery, and I should not be so shy and just start parking. So that's what I've started to do. And frankly, it's, you know, hasn't been stolen yet. So these are things you want to think about. Is this the ask you want to do?
Is that what we had agreed on to ask before was 50K?
No, there was no number on it, really. Not a firm number. And this is a 2017 number.
I thought we had talked about like 15,000 comes to mind.
Costs involved with lockers themselves.
Yeah.
And then there's overhead and installation.
Then there's,
and stuff,
oh, there's
like
all
that.
Kinds of stuff. They have a
we
list.
Didn't get into that.
But we did talk cost when we agreed this in the letter.
Yeah,
right.
That was,
but again, that was merely just for the actual boxes themselves, the lockers themselves.
Okay.
I didn't include things like, you know, the infrastructure for it, so installation, whatever concrete changes might need to be made.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think that we've talked about that at all. I mean, I know, like, I didn't consider that. I just remember a much lower number than
that's
that.
That's why I wanted to get a better number.
Okay.
Well, maybe we talked about two units. Times three instead of four times three. That's how I'm kind of remembering that. If that looked like too much money, you know, if it's pilot, put in two instead of four, and if two get used, well, you can add them. You can put them in series right next to each other, and the ones you add are cheaper than the original ones because they only have three walls and a ceiling.
Yeah, if you can cut that cost in half, that might be.
Probably
not. Maybe. Well, if we were to start this as a much smaller pilot program, then I would have to agree with that. But if you pick one location, it would be this one here.
There is an issue with them not being used as much as you think they'd be used.
Yes.
But the thing about these locations is there's a lot of people that work there.
Right.
And now I have a dry locker I could put my bike in. Maybe I'll start riding my bike tomorrow instead of tying it up to a post outside where it gets rained on all day, you know?
Well, if we want to target a specific clientele at a specific place, maybe we should do some kind of survey, see if they even want that. I mean, I could see it being used out here because of the public transportation, but I don't think that's necessarily going to be indicative of the use it will get in the rest of the city, because this is a very specific situation. So it might be beneficial out here, but as a pilot, I would say we should do more than just out front of City Hall. So if we want to do it in parks and at the rec center, and you think it's mostly employees that are going to use it? Is that what I'm hearing? Like, we could we email them and ask?
Same, presumably, of the library folks.
Okay, yeah.
And how much, like, for parks and rec, at the rec center and the library, how much do they think their clientele are likely to use?
Yeah, I mean, maybe we're just making assumptions that are not based in reality. I thought that we had, or somebody had, already talked to the library about this possibility. Did you, Beth? Nobody?
Didn't talk to any employees.
No, those three sites came up just sitting around the table here talking.
Well, there's a library committee, city committee, and I don't remember if we had someone who was...
It was me.
Okay.
I don't know, I'll look up in their next meeting, if I can go to it and ask them.
Oh, I swear I had it broken down. But trust me, you're right. It's all inclusive.
Yeah, I've got a bunch of the quotes that we were talking about, but
yeah,
it's
they were. You know, that was
like 11,000.
I wish I could find that part that has all the breakdown, but the first part was just the actual locker itself. User access cards, how are people going to buy the cards? There's a lot to think about. There's also, because you want to have it access, just like what they're dealing with at the Bayfront, you want to have the cards be that they can do it from their phone, or they can buy a card. Where do they buy it? Or they can buy it from using their phone, or they can pay cash for it, and it's gonna have to be plan ahead that you buy a card, kind of so we know who's doing it. The police talked to Jason, the police director and police chief. He said I don't know. I said, what do you think in general? He said, OSU's taking out theirs. And he gave me a name to talk to with OSU, why they're taking out theirs.
You know, that's the other thing. Because when I worked for Kaiser Permanente 7 years ago, I didn't have a bicycle. I didn't own a car in those days. And they put it in the locker, and it never got used. And about 2 years later, they took them out because people were vandalizing them and doing all kinds of things to them. The only thing they weren't being used for is people parking or their bikes in. I mean, you had to bring your own lock on these also. They didn't have a combination or something. So you had to provide your own lock. And they're all gone.
That system doesn't work. That's why the card system. That's part of why it didn't work, probably.
Probably. But I just know that they bagged all. They had six of them at one time between Washington all the way down to Clackamas. Not one
month. And they, in general, they don't make them as money makers. They make them like 5 cents an hour or something like that. That's what the maker recommends, that we pay the cost up front. It won't be self-paying for itself. And that's kind of, from my perspective, an equity thing, so that it's not costly for somebody to ride their bike to the bike lock or go to work on the bus or whatnot.
Just give one employee or one bus rider a place that he can safely land. What happens to the other 5-10 people that also are looking for places?
Right.
So you just got the one, so you better get there really early if you want to use that spot.
Yeah, I'm kind of looking at the big picture too. I mean, it's made me kind of go through all the motions, like what if it's not successful? What if a bike corral would do it? I mean, what if there's a way where there's just fenced off area
probably,
for bikes?
Probably gives you better results because usually with a corral, you have somebody there.
Well, an unmanned corral, but a system like with a certain people have the, I don't know how that would work exactly, but.
I was looking at my past notes and it looked like this whole thing kind of came up from Ryan.
Oh yeah, Ryan's the one that challenged us
and
to put something together for the.
I don't know. At the time, it seemed kind of like low hanging fruit, like the city had money to spend or something. And
yes.
Now it's seeming like that's not the case. And
it's never been the case.
Well, he was just like, he was talking about that there's all this momentum about parking on the bayfront and, you know, wanted us to put recommendations forward. So it's like, oh yeah, here's the momentum. But it sounds like we kind of don't know if this is the best approach and where it's going to be needed. And 50 grand's a lot of money.
It is.
So I kind of hate going backwards because it's like one of the things we all agreed on and we were moving forward. But maybe isn't an urgent thing.
That's kind of where I feel sorry for that I didn't act on this and or let you know or anything. Believe me, I've been like, oh, this is not sounding like such a good idea anymore. But it's really up to you.
Yeah. I'm not the bicyclist in the group. The pedestrians, so I'll have to defer to some of the bicyclists, but
I would like, and the thing is, I asked around and no other city's doing this.
Okay.
And I Googled.
Yeah.
And they're by transit stations, sure. But so maybe a little more homework to see if it's anywhere in the country that this is successful.
Or if we have some kind of influence about how the city uses 50K of its general fund, maybe we want to say, hey, we could put a bike lane at Elizabeth Street. Like,
right.
You know,
right.
I mean, maybe
close
maybe
the sidewalk out.
The connectivity
right.
of this one bike lane is actually going to be a much better outcome.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's
no, that
more,
makes sense.
Connectivity is more baked into the whole Vision 2040 and biped goal, our goals, and it has to deal with equity too and safety for kids crossing. So,
biggest use of bicycle parking I've seen, this is in Portland, is at the transit station, the transit stations for the MAX, and there, but there they don't have boxes, they have cages that are. I don't know how they gave access to them and that, but I think there's one under the Birdside Bridge down there, and they fit holds probably 50 bicycles, and it's usually about half full. Summertime seems more than less.
Well,
yeah, I think given the cost, you could probably make some kind of accommodations for more bicycles. Maybe not use the boxes. I mean, I understand. I think part of what Ryan was thinking is that there are a lot of people who are using very expensive bicycles now that can't withstand a lot of the weather that we have here.
Like
so they would be in an enclosed area. Yeah.
Cargo bikes, things like that.
Yeah, and the electric bikes also.
Yeah.
Because if I owned an electric bike, I would be looking for such a thing because
yeah, you won't cover
they're real targets.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, obviously, there's some weatherproofing involved in making an e-bike, but you still won't be leaving it out in the rain. As much as possible, but that might just be me.
E-bikes, I think they can handle as much as anything. Maybe it's just the battery. I'm just thinking, like I said, it might be a moving target that e-bikes become very lockable, like motorcycles, hard to steal, all kinds of detection devices, and that they're maybe we're addressing a problem a little too early before. I mean, as anybody else complained, I mean, if we got a few people from the community saying that, but we're kind of making guesses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we don't really
have
a good feedback mechanism.
Newport. Do we have any idea how many bicycles are stolen a year?
Yes. Jason did say, he said only one's been stolen, one e-bike's been stolen. So.
How about regular bikes though?
I don't know.
I doubt there's statistics on that. Most people wouldn't.
Yeah, that's another thing we may wanna handle, is try to get the police to have a better system.
And I know I got several thousand dollars hanging in my garage. I don't use them anymore because of age, but.
Uh-huh, yeah, they're pricey.
A long time, that was, the only way I knew how to get around with a bicycle.
So what are you thinking?
Let's drop it. I mean, I spent a lot of time on this and I'm okay dropping it, you know, so.
We can, rather than just drop it completely, let's put it like in a deep back burner.
Right.
And if anybody wants to do some homework and find out about other towns, you know, great.
Keep me off the news site.
Just when it comes on by, oh, you don't wanna be on that.
I don't need to read headlines anymore. I'm already stressed out enough.
What happens now that we're getting the parking going down here on the bayfront and we're going into summer now. And if you're gonna see bicycles, you're gonna see a whole lot more now than you are in January. And let's see what folks are doing. Where do they park if you're going to the library? Do they, I don't, you know, they have a bike rack there.
They have a couple of bike racks.
Do they?
Yeah.
So the only thing we do then is bring your own U-boat.
And David's chair. Google David's chair. If I were a bicyclist, I think I would want someone to ask me, what is your number one pressing concern? Like, is it parking?
Road safety.
Or is it?
Wouldn't that be a great thing?
Road safety.
Yeah, right, so
Everybody's gonna say it's road safety.
Let's go there. That's where we should maybe.
I mean, yes, I do care that I have a place to park, but I care more about getting to that parking place alive.
Right, exactly.
I can park against any one of, walk up against any one of these, walls out here. All I need is something this big around.
Well, that's what I do. That's where I park my bike, because that's my windows under. Okay.
An expensive lock.
Is there anyone else at the city that rides bike to work?
No, we used to have a young man who stopped. Yeah, a lot of.
If you had two people, you could come as employees and say, hey, get us a bike locker and see how that goes, but.
Yeah.
When I first got to Kaiser, we didn't have bike racks. Myself and one of the surgeons there, he was a big mouth talker anyway. But yeah, we went right to the upper management of the hospital and then they gave us one. And first of all, they didn't put it under any place that was dry. We finally talked them into putting it on the ambulance entrance so it was dry. But that took a lot just to get an old fashioned.
You have to be an activist. Yeah, these days, yeah. Or back then. Okay, so finishing up on my staff report, just that we have two openings now, and Tom has left us. But he's a busy guy, and something had to give.
Yeah.
And he was here since 2019, February 2019.
Join Charlie after I did.
If he would come, I would have brought a cake, maybe. I say that now.
Because you need more work to do.
Two openings, keep it in mind. David's chair is happening this weekend. There'd be an excursion, they're calling it an excursion. David's chair, if you recall.
From last year.
Yeah, is happening. It is a chair that can be on the sand, and a nonprofit is coming to town. There's a big fundraiser Friday night. Love to see you all. And even if you want to work there at the fundraiser, I told them I would ask. And if anybody wants to work there alongside me and come a little early.
Are you going to be lifting them up? They have two things of trying to get muscle to lift this thing up.
This is just a fundraiser. This is just like, you know, putting out the beers or whatever.
You sent an email, right, about that?
I did.
Okay. I'll take another look at that.
So, yeah, it's going to be food, drink, we hope alcoholic, at the Elks, silent auction. Just a nice thing to do. And it's fundraiser, so bring your wallet. That's all I had to say on the staff report.
So it looks like they're up at Seaside at the end of April.
The openings on the committee, are those both for members?
No, Thomas is a full-time member. That ends in 12/31/24. Martha's is the one that's still vacant. Alternate ends 2023. 12/31/23.
So we have an alternate and a member.
Yes, two positions open. So as you can tell, all the more reason to come. Okay, so we heard Alan said he couldn't come?
Yeah.
Okay, so excuse. And I haven't heard from Lise. I think Lisa's on vacation or something. She may have told me that she'll be gone for a while.
I seem to recall that.
Something. Matt, I don't know what's, I gotta check out Matt. I'll email them both and see what's going on. Unless one of you guys want to. Okay, I'll do it. And CC?
Yeah, CC.
Okay. If I don't hear from them, I'll email you and maybe, you have their info. You could, actually call them. I could too. Anyway, that's all I had to report. Comment?
Public comment? There is no public comment. So. And then that moves on to.
Well, did we have a, did I forget to put in the part where, well, there's committee comments. I wanted to give you guys one more opportunity to comment on anything, any.
Anything further that we have not yet touched on.
What is the likelihood that we'll have minutes in the future? Is that due to a permanent low staffing situation and?
Yes, like it's kind of my low key way of saying I'm too busy and get somebody else to do it, but it's not working. So I will be doing it. I'll get them done.
When I've had this issue in other committees, we've volunteered on the committee to do the minutes, and we've, one thing that has worked in the past sometimes is just rotating, since one person doesn't always get stuck with it. I'm not so sure, like, are there restrictions around
this kind of thing? I have a feeling it's for some, or them, but I will ask.
Okay, which
I would love to ask.
At least I could volunteer occasionally. I would just take them during the meeting. I would.
It's not a lot. But so, see, I end up listening to the whole thing.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I used to do that. It takes hours.
Yeah.
But I'll take them during the meeting on occasion.
Probably what I should just do is not listen to those past ones. Because I'm only going to get done. Thank you.
It is hard to take notes and participate at the same time. I recognize that, which is one of the reasons it can help to rotate it if we have no one else. But I'd rather have incomplete minutes than no minutes.
Okay.
So,
I heard you. Yeah, good.
Well, I was just looking at the library report minutes just a second ago, and there's very, very summarized.
Okay.
They're very brief.
That's all I'm going to do. Well, I'm not going to say, he said this, they said that. Okay.
Yeah, I think just touchstone, this was the topic, this was the general bent of discussion.
Okay.
Here was a vote.
Yeah.
You know, they've been very verbose for our meetings in the past, and perhaps they don't need to be.
Okay, good. So, good input. Thank you.
Agree with that.
Summary. Well, it's 1 minute there as a summary.
I know.
I like verbose minutes.
No, and I do too.
And I like he said, she said, because I want to go back and go like, where did this discussion come from? What did we already talk about? So we don't have to reinvent the wheel. But I don't want that to be a barrier. Like I'm with Michael. I mean, really, it just needs to be an outline of the basics. And I can take my own supplementary notes.
Great. Okay. Okay.
We have video for backup if there's
more
info is needed.
That's true.
Yeah, and audio. Okay, next meeting.
Next meeting date I have, July 11th. Yep.
July 11th.
That would be it.
I will be gone.
Okay.
Is August a no meeting month?
I think the next one is going to be in the winter.
Yeah.
August is
September.
A joint. August is joint.
Parks and Rec joint. September is blank.
Do you want to make July a non-meeting?
But we already talked about it, though. It was like December and April.
Was it two times?
We already had one, and then it was going to be like winter.
Okay, yeah.
He's got it there, right?
Yeah.
I thought it was three.
December's good.
There's nothing that says it can't be July, too.
No. I mean, July, start of the fiscal year, check-in, subcommittee assignments. Do we need to change any goals and objectives? It doesn't look like it's going to be a heavy agenda for July.
It's just
we can
push it till August?
And the August will be the joint one.
August is our joint meeting.
So it won't be a lot of our specific stuff. Last time we really, it was long, but I don't think we, I think it's good. I think that even though it will be a joint meeting, it can be fast.
Well, then will this one be a joint meeting?
Yes, it will be an authentic joint meeting.
So they're gonna do, or their announcement is already done. Because the last time, they didn't do their announcement.
One of their people had to leave.
And they didn't have a quorum, and so, yeah.
Yeah, and I wonder some, for that, I would love to have more advance notice of the agenda. I felt totally blindsided the last time we had that meeting. It was a good meeting, but I was not prepared because I didn't realize what we would be talking about in that level of detail.
We worked it out, I mean, we worked it out in advance, we had a meeting, I sent that out. And maybe you didn't get it, because we did what was on the agenda.
Well, we were talking, if I remember correctly, it was like priorities that we wanted to work on together. I don't know, it's just our entire committee was completely silent, and I just felt like it was not what I was personally expecting, and maybe I misunderstood, but I did not feel prepared for that meeting.
Yeah, it was, a lot of it was overlap of the TSP and the Parks and Rec, so we don't have to do that this time. It'll be, okay, so point taken, yeah.
Okay.
Agenda format is last, well, we can talk about that.
So are we gonna meet in July then, or push it till August, or how are we gonna do that?
What did we decide on? I'm trying to find that.
Decided to go play by play.
Oh.
And, but definitely a couple.
It was definitely December off.
Definitely December off, and then it was April too, wasn't it? Oh, I see, agreed on no meeting April, possibly July and December.
Oh, possibly July.
That was the March meeting.
I don't see, if we've got nothing heavy on our agenda for next month, then I don't see a reason not to have a schedule. But I'll take a motion if somebody wants to do that in a second, to skip July's meeting.
I'll make a motion that we can skip next month.
Anybody want a second? A second for Leanne, and all in favor?
I guess we don't have anything right now that we know, huh, on the agenda.
It doesn't.
Out of the ordinary.
Yeah, I mean, school's out, tourist season's on.
So we're looking at August the 8th then, which is second Tuesday.
Yeah, August the 8th.
So we would then be moving the subcommittee check-ins and goals till September?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Okay, so if there's nothing else, then we can adjourn the meeting at 6:52 PM.
Thank you.
All right.
Fun.
Be well.
Feeling.
Okay, adios.
Okay, what time do we adjourn?
6:52.
Okay.
Okay, folks, until the next time.
Okay. Wait, hold it.
Thank you. Bye.
Thanks, Ron. And I guess,
have a good evening.
Since we're not having meetings, well, you'll just email people, right?
Yeah, but the thing we talked about today.
Yeah, anything that you know, we're gonna do.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. Just
will
keep
do.
Us pinched.
Will do.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm gonna go through this Toledo pit thing, this process.
Uh-huh.
And then
sounds good.
It looks like the next city council meeting is scheduled for June 19th.
I don't know.
Whatever's in the fridge.
That is the third Monday. My question is, that's a federal holiday.
Yeah, Juneteenth, it's coming up. Yeah, then that's a good question. Usually it is.
And there's nothing on the, there's nothing on the city council's.
Let's see if Travis knows.
And then I'll be prepared to come in and say, hey, here's what we got.
That's what this is. That would be really great. And if you want help with the, I mean, they even have really good presentation material. If you wanted to have slides or something or anything like that.
I'd like to do it a little bit more informal than that for the first, just like.
Sounds good.
Is the city council down with?
Okay, but you gotta sell it, man.
Well, of course.
Okay, bye. Apparently we're still on TV, but I don't know when the next meeting is. Travis, when would be?
I stayed just in case, because I knew you were doing this for the first time.
I ended it.
Yep, you did everything just fine.
Yay. Do you know when the next city council meeting is? It's not Juneteenth, obviously.
It'll be the Tuesday following.
Tuesday following, the 20th, okay.
Yep.
Oh, the next day.
Yep.
So I'll put it for that then.
Okay, good.
Cool.
Okay.
Now, tell me. Find out where I'll put that car and see if I can push them through.